Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Changes to the way unclaimed property is handled has changed in the state. South Dakota State Treasurer Rich Sattgast joins the program with details that might save you some money. Secretary Sattgast, welcome to In the Moment.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, let's get some background and context. There are changes. We're talking about Senate Bill 34, introduced by the governor. What led to the conversation that there needed to be a change? What was the problem?
Well, over the last couple of years, as you may know, originally the treasurer's office would take in about $8 million a year in unclaimed property. And then due to some changes, not only in our statutes on how companies and financial institutions report, but also that we had some consolidation of large banks consolidating in South Dakota. And so we started taking in an excess of over $70 million a year. So we'd really increased the amount that we'd been taking in. And with that, the portions that dealt with securities, stocks, mutual funds, that type of thing, that portfolio began to grow because we were not selling those off as we would get those in. And that created a problem for the CAFR group, which is the group that reports for the comprehensive annual financial report to the federal government. And they're required to report assets and liabilities. And because we were dealing with securities in excess of $12 million that would fluctuate, they could not accurately report to the federal government. So it made it difficult for their group to be able to do their job properly. And so the last couple of years, we've been talking about how to alleviate that. And this last year, the governor's office put in Senate Bill 34, which would require us to sell off securities within 90 days of receiving them. And so that gives us that window right there to really track down the people that those funds belong to.
All right. So what are we talking about when we talk about unclaimed securities? Give me a scenario of what that looks like.
Well, it can be anything from dividends. A lot of times you will have grandparents will buy stock in Disney, and then they will have those stocks set aside for their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And over time you'll have dividends that'll accumulate in that. And if somebody loses track of that those stocks were actually even purchased, or a grandparent dies and no one knows that those were purchased, then those will get turned over to my office because of inactivity. And so after 3 years of inactivity, those will get turned over to my office, and then it's my requirement to try to track down the people that they actually belong to.
And so inactivity means what exactly in this context?
Well, if there had been no contact between the purchaser of those shares of stock and the stockbroker for 3 years, it could mean that, you know, they've just been set aside and nothing's been done with them. A lot of times people will get a letter in the mail that says, you know, hey, you own this stock. Please just let us know that you're still at this address. Mm. And a number of times people will just throw those away rather than actually send them back into their broker. And so there has been no contact, and that's where the inactivity comes in.
All right. So what do you have to do? What's your responsibility to reach out to people, and how are you doing it in a fairly short turnaround time now?
Yes. So what we've done now is we have sent out approximately 2,000 letters to people here in South Dakota and another 500 letters to people outside the state of South Dakota, letting them know that we are holding stock that possibly belongs to them, and then it's their responsibility to get back to us. If they send us a letter back, we consider that as a filing for a claim, and so we will stop the sale. And they need to do that before the first week of May.
Okay, so you're sending out a letter, but letters didn't reach them before. Is there a better way in 2017 than sending something in the mail?
Well, we've been doing a lot of advertising as well. We've been on social media. We've been putting out the press releases, getting the public aware. And we've seen a huge uptick in people actually going to our website and checking to see if we owe them unclaimed property, whether it's the stock or if it's other monies that may be owed to them.
Right. So let's talk about some of the things besides stocks. What other unclaimed property are we seeing in the state? Give me some common themes.
Okay. Probably one of the largest thing is just overpayments to companies that you may have owed a bill to. those are required to be sent back into us if they're unable to return those monies to the people that made the overpayment. It can be anything from a lost bank account, a bank account that's just been forgotten about. It can also be things such as a deposit when you've signed up for utilities, and a lot of times those will be younger people. They'll move into an apartment building. They'll go ahead and put their deposits down for the utilities, and then they'll move and forget to collect that last deposit that was made. And so those are a lot of things that we see that come into the office.
Right. So what happens with the money then that is unclaimed? Nobody comes forward in that 90 days. The state's allowed to move on to the next step. What's the next step?
Well, what ends up happening, and that 90 days is only for stock that comes in. So we go ahead and sell that stock. We set aside the money that was received from the sale of the stock, and then that can always be claimed later on. And there is no time limit on claiming funds, any of the funds that come into the state of South Dakota.
So it sits there in a fund? Does it gain interest? Does it benefit anyone while it sits there?
Well, a lot of times what will end up happening is the legislature will use those funds for other projects, and then it is listed as a liability to the state. So it ends up being a perpetual liability to the state. But we always have money available that can go out for payments. Last month we made a little over $3 million in payments. So far in this first week of April, we've made nearly $1 million in payments. This year total, we've made $23 million in payments out to the people that it rightfully belongs to, which is quite a bit higher than last year. Last year, for our entire fiscal year, we made about $20 million in payouts. So we're looking at exceeding $26 million in payouts this year, which will be a $6 million increase from last year.
So what's sitting left behind that hasn't been paid out then?
About $390 million is what we have sitting that is actually owed out to people and who we're really working trying to get as much of that back to the people that it belongs to as possible.
All right. So tell me then, let's go back to this notion of a perpetual liability to the state, but the state has access to use that. So can it be directed when can it be tapped into when there's a budget shortfall?
Yes, it can. And that's what they've done in the past. The governor, when we had a huge uptick in unclaimed property coming into the state, to the tune of about $120 million, that was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, the governor did use some of those funds to pay off liabilities that we had in, such as in the unfunded liabilities with our pension fund. And so So that's really made our pension fund whole. I think that last count we were over 100% funded. And so those funds have been put to good use and on behalf of the taxpayers of South Dakota.
Right. Are there consequences to tapping into it, potential consequences? And have we ever sort of seen those consequences come to fruition?
At this point, we have not. It's really been a good experiment at this point in time, because we have been taking in annually about $70 million a year. And as hard as we are working trying to get as much money back to the people as it can possibly belong to, we'll be somewhere around $25 million that we return. And so we're not hitting that point where we're returning more than we're taking in. And a good portion of that is because a number of these accounts are such things as prepaid cards that don't actually have names associated with them. Mm. So it's very difficult for us to actually track down the people that money should belong to, unless somebody comes forward and says, hey, I have a prepaid card that expired and I can prove that I had that card and here's the number associated with it.
How does a prepaid card become unclaimed property for the state of South Dakota?
Well, They've been associated with that they had an expiration date associated with those. And so when they've expired and a company has those prepaid cards, then they have to turn those funds over to the state.
Really?
Yeah.
This I did not. Even like a gift card?
Right. Even like a gift card. So
Wow. So what kind of conversations? I am totally fascinated by this notion of all this, you know, you think you're keeping track of your money and maybe you're not as well as you think you are. So what kind of conversations do we need to have with our families, or is it with our bankers, or, you know, what do we need to do to track it so it doesn't become unclaimed in the first place?
Well, that's a very good issue that probably needs to be raised, is keeping track of those funds. But, you know, like I said, a number of them are simple things that you just may forget about, such as, yes, you paid a deposit on your utilities, or your last bill that you paid for your utilities, and you made an overpayment for those. And so those are just things that people need to keep a mindset on. But I do have to say, one of the very first claims that I ever was involved with 6 years ago, it was the first month I took office, and we received oil stock out of Colorado that was valued at $1.3 million when it came into my office. And so we were able to contact that family and get that money back to them within a very short period of time.
Do you get to have a conversation with them at some point?
I did.
Good. What was that like?
Yes. Well, it was one of those situations. They didn't realize that their father had even invested in that stock company, and so in all of his dealings, there was no mention that he had invested in a company that dealt with stock. One of the other interesting things that we had happen was a gentleman had invested in a telephone company back in the early 1920s. It was just a local telephone company, and over a period of time, it had been sold several different times. And then finally, that company had gotten sold to a wireless company, and they realized that, oh, wait a minute, here's all this stock sitting here that belongs to somebody, and all the dividend payments. And we were able to track down the two beneficiaries of that, who were in their late 70s and early 80s, and we were able to return several $100,000 back to them that had belonged to one of their relatives from back in the 1920s.
Wow. So does doing this work cost the state money?
No, it doesn't, because we use those funds that are not actual taxpayer funds. So we will use those funds to help fund the program for this. And so it is not a drain on the taxpayers. Actually, those funds, like I said, are used by the legislature, and so it does benefit the taxpayers of South Dakota to have such a program that we do have.
All right. Is there a website where I can go check, or do I have to wait for a letter in my mail to see if I'm on this list of people who might benefit from this?
No, we do have a website. It's sdtreasurer.gov, and so if you just go out and get on there, you can type in your last name. If you have a common last name, you type in your last name with the first letter of your first name, and it'll pull up a list if we owe you money.
All right. This has been illuminating, Secretary Sagas. Though, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. And go out and check the website.